How long do musical groups stay together? The Rolling Stones are still counting up at a half century. The Beatles didn't last 10 years, but some classical music groups start up and keep going. Like the Southern Oregon Repertory Singers, they've been raising their voices in song for nearly three decades now in the Rogue Valley and beyond, and show no signs of slowing down. Paul French is the group's director and a Southern Oregon University professor as well, and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Dr. French, welcome.
Thank you. I'd just like to say neither the Beatles nor the Stones have played Ashland, and we have.
Well, there you go. Okay,
there you have
it. There's a whole little niche that you have that they never could aspire to. How did Southern Oregon Rep Singers, is it 28 years now?
29.
Okay.
Next year will be the 30th year, which is pretty extraordinary.
Is it unusual for a group like this to hang on as long as it has?
I think so. I mean, arts groups everywhere are under fire. You know, it's a year to year, and we exist from the good graces of our audience and our patrons, and so we feel very fortunate to be able to do what we do, and we thank our people who support us.
How did Southern Oregon Repertory Singers get started?
It began by my predecessor at the university, Ellison Glatley, who wanted to form another group in the valley to do different types of music. And he conducted for the first 5 years. And when he left SOU and I took his job there, I also assumed the directorship of Rep Singers.
He actually stayed in the group for a while after.
He did sing in the group for a while, which was, it was fine. It was good. He's a good guy.
So how many members? I mean, this sounds like a few people who got together and said, hey, let's do this.
It started quite small. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember back to the early years, but maybe like 20. And now we have a big pool, and not everyone sings every concert. But I think singing this concert are about 55. We probably won't get much bigger than that, because certain kinds of repertoire are actually harder when you have more people. But we've been so fortunate that really good singers keep wanting to be part of the group, and it's hard to say no just for some arbitrary, I don't want more than X number. So that's sort of been the growth of the ensemble just in size.
You mentioned repertoire, which I guess begs the question of what is a repertory singer, or what is a group of repertory singers? What makes this a repertory group?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we inherited the name of the group. Repertory is supposed to mean there are pieces that you bring back. I don't think we've performed any of this music before, so it's kind of a name that we inherited. This particular program is really a fascinating show, if I can just say something about it.
This is the one coming up Sunday. Have a concert.
Sunday at 3. It's called Bright Orb of Harmony, which is a title that I completely stole off a CD. The CD juxtaposed the music of Henry Purcell, a Baroque composer, with one of my favorite composers and someone whose music I've done a lot of, James McMillan, a Scottish composer. And they both use harmony in kind of the same way to create tension, then the resolution of that tension, you know, builds release, just like in a play. And so I thought that would make a nice theme. Then in my head I said, oh, and then we should do some French music, because French music, they're trying hard basically not to be German and to using dissonance to create, instead of tension, to create pleasure, sensuousness, and like jazz does, where some of those notes are actually dissonant, but the way that they arrange them makes you feel like, you know, having a martini instead of reflecting on your life and writing a poem. I said, well, and then we can do a whole different kind of thing and do some Chinese songs. And so we're doing a set of Chinese folk music. I'm also really interested in the intersection between art music and folk music. You know, the words are clumsy because I think the ideas are actually clumsy. There's just music, and today people are using music in different ways and integrating all kinds of so-called classical ideas with so-called folk ideas. And so this composer, Chen Yi, does it in a really interesting way. And the choir gets to make bird calls and, you know, do all these kinds of things. And we're doing this wild Latvian piece, a setting of a Sarah Teasdale poem, where the choir accompanies themselves with tuned wine glasses.
Really?
And the poem's called Stars. And so, you know, celestial harmony and the celestial sound of the crystal. And they're using all my wine glasses, so I had to drink a glass of wine last night from a jelly jar. So I'll be glad when the show's done and I can get my wine glasses back.
You're really pulling out all the stops on this one, aren't you?
I know.
Is this as far out as you've ever gone?
You know, I bring wine glasses.
For the concert, though, I mean, is this a more daring than usual in terms of using tuned wine glasses and singing in Mandarin and things like that?
Well, the choir had to work really hard because we're doing a big set in French and a big set in Mandarin in the same show, and that's a little hard. It's not a wild show in that the people that have come to my concerts know that the music that I program is interesting and I think goes out there a little bit, but it's always really pleasurable to listen to. I'm not a fan of serial music. I'm not a fan of music that is really, really hard to listen to. So I try to hit an in-between ground, music that has something to say, but that doesn't punish you.
That was a question then, was about how much you want to challenge the singers and the audience, and you're looking for a place where there's some risk, I suppose, but whereas you're not making people sit through something because it's like spinach.
I think that's a slippery slope. To feel like you want to punish your audience doesn't make good sense to me, and perhaps there's an equation to the group staying in existence for a while and not punishing the audience and the singers. I think I do substantive music, but today it's such a great time to do what I do. There's all this great music from the past, Henry Purcell, Thomas Tallis, you know, standard literature, though literature that doesn't get done a lot, and a host of modern pieces that are interesting, stretch the harmonic vocabulary, but, you know, what I alluded to before, harmonies that are more complex don't have to be ones that leave you wanting to run into the woods and never come back.
Paul French is our guest in the Jefferson Exchange. He's a professor at Southern Oregon University and the director of the Southern Oregon Repertory Singers. We're talking about the Repertory Singers' history and the concert coming up this Sunday called The Bright Orb of Harmony, 3 p.m. at the Music Recital Hall at Southern Oregon University. Interesting, the challenge again to the singers, singing in Mandarin, which I have to ask about because the Chinese languages are tonal languages. So there are certain ways that you say certain things, and if you don't say it in that tonal pattern, you've actually said something completely different.
That's right. Other languages have similar things. You know, in Italian, if you say caro, or if you roll the R, caro, they mean different things. One means wagon and one means sweetheart. So other languages, we have the same set of, you know, warning Will Robinson, you can get way off really easily. Mandarin, as the composer, has to take into effect the contours that are inherent in the pronunciation of that word. So it's always going to be slightly different when you notate it. But the pastor at Trinity Episcopal Church was the cultural attaché in Beijing for a number of years and speaks fluent Mandarin. So he came in and coached us on the Mandarin, and he says that we're doing fine. There's always a little pitying look in his eye when he says that. So we're doing our best, and anything we do wrong is not Father Tony's fault. But it's been fun to... the reason I picked it really is their tonal structure is based on a pentatonic scale, a different scale than ours, so the music sounds different. So I was trying to do big, different schools of palettes of sound. And there's a big intersection between the music of Asia and Western music. Debussy was very influenced by hearing a gamelan orchestra, and one of the reasons his music went the way it went was there was a feeling Western music, everything had been said. You know, from Beethoven forward, people struggled with that. You know, what can we do that's different? And then when they started hearing music built around wildly different systems, they incorporated that into their own music. And 20th century music composers went to all these different lengths to try to organize their music in new ways, which, of course, is still trying to be romantic.
Right. There's a real sense of adventure, it sounds like, within the repertory singers. Where do you get the singers from? I mean, these are high-quality singers, anywhere from 4 dozen to 55, I guess, is where you said the maximum goes.
Yeah, we've had singers come in from as far away as Reading and Cave Junction, and will come here, you know, for rehearsals every week, just to be part of the group. There's a lot of course, talent. There's talent here. It's an arts community, and we're so fortunate that we have wonderful talent to work with. You know, I don't make the music. The singers sing the music, and I can only do what I do based on their talent and making me look better.
And that's right.
It's all about making me look good.
Do the singers have to audition for Southern Oregon Repertory Singers?
There is an audition. And, you know, there's lots of groups that sing and lots of ways to sing. This is not the only way to sing. And I know that. I love to sing Scottish folk songs. And I go to Kaylee's and we sing The Hours Away. And it's great. It's really fun. I also like to do high-end music, which is what this group tries to do. So in no way do we try to say this is the only music. It's not a cast kind of thing. But this group sings well and is going after doing things really well. You know, I have a short story. I went to sleep the other night with the Kyrie of the Rheinberger Mass that we're singing, a German romantic composer, in my head. I woke up with it in my head, and I said to my wife, you know, it's funny because I heard this piece years ago, and I didn't like it that much. And she said, well, maybe it just wasn't sung very well. And that made me think, we as performers, we carry this responsibility to bring this music to life and to make people, not make people like it, but show them how to like it by performing it with so much heart and beauty that the music hopefully will sing in their heads in the night. And that feeling is why we do art, because nothing else can bring you there.
Well, I have heard the Repertory Singers a number of times. It has a gorgeous sound. And so an adventure, it sounds like, is in store for the audiences on Sunday at 3 o'clock. At the Southern Oregon University Music Recital Hall, Bright Orb of Harmony with the Southern Oregon Rep Singers. It is repsingers.org, right? Your website is
repsingers.org, yeah.
All right. Paul French, the director of the Southern Oregon Repertory Singers, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Always good to see you.